I'm for the bullpen.
OMG, the bullpen.
It's the bullpen, everybody.
Mercy me, the bullpen.
Go team, go team.
Yes!
Go. Welcome back to the Aggie Bullpen. It's Evan and Ethan.
It's just the bullpen, man. Come on.
Oh, the bullpen.
OMG, the bullpen.
Might as well.
Mercy me, it's the bullpen. That intro was a lot of fun to make.
Oh yeah, that was a good time. I think that really helped everybody loosen up.
Well, everybody meaning us too, I think.
So, which is everybody, but not to be confused between Evan and Ethan. So
no, not to be confused.
All right,
Should not happen.
Got a few things in the world of baseball and football today.
And one of them is actually connected to both.
Yeah, which we will get to later. Just first, we'll just go through a little bit of news, some quick news. First up, this past week, University of Arizona offensive lineman Zach Hamila, died in his sleep. They don't know what caused that yet. He had been on the team since 2012, as far as I could read. So in other news, Ichiro Suzuki finally getting his 3,000th American
hit.
Is
that the biggest motorcycle, or is it the second biggest motorcycle that Suzuki offers?
I think it's the second biggest. There's the...
Okay, cool. No, obviously he's a baseball player.
Yeah.
But yeah, so 3,000th hit, I mean,
and that's just
in MLB, right?
Yeah.
See, that means a lot more to me than his supposed setting the record for most hits. It's like you hit like half of these over in Japan. Doesn't count.
Yeah, not quite our level. I mean,
well, I mean, on top of that, it's either way, it's a different league, so it doesn't count towards your totals for that league.
Kind of also as well, something happened, Hall of Fame game getting canceled, NFL's Hall of Fame game in Canton. Supposed to be a matchup between Colts and
Packers,
and I think it was something with the paint.
Oh, yeah. It was a mess, and I talked about this a couple days ago, or yesterday. It was yesterday that I talked about it. Anyway, so... The problem was, apparently they didn't get the field ready early enough, and they decided that they were going to speed up the heating process of the paint so it dries faster. But what they actually did was they caused it to congeal, and also I believe the turf melted a little bit. So basically what they did was they created a rock hard surface on the field, in midfield and in the end zones. Seems really safe, right? No, it was a complete no-brainer to not do it, to not have that game. Like, you had to cancel it because, you know, there was going to be so many injuries just because you realize how often you have to go across the 50, and any time that you get to the end zone, you're going to get hurt. Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah.
So it was a no-brainer for me. I'll dig more into this in a little bit when we get to Wall of Shame.
Okay. But, yeah, I had no clue about that paint. I guess I always thought about the paint just, you know, not really forming like one concrete like.
That's because you're supposed to let it dry itself. But when you like heat it up, like it made the paint weird, and also I think it melted into the turf.
Jeez.
And either way, it made this really congealed, like hard surface. Hmm. And it was bad. And when I say congealed, like maybe not everyone gets what that means, but it's like when your blood dries and stuff, like it hardens, that's congealed. Like if it's like all clotting up and everything, that's what it is.
So probably not a good idea to get tackled onto congealed
paint. Definitely not. And plus, like, for all we know, it's hard enough that you can't plant in it. And so if you go to plant, like your foot like goes out from underneath you and you mess up your ACL. So it's terrible idea all around. So yeah, good decision to cancel the game rather than be like, oh no, we have to play this game because I guarantee you neither team would have played it. They would have been like, no, we're not playing. And maybe that's what happened. You know, maybe beforehand they're like, look, we're not playing on that. Like, so you should either cancel the game or we're just going to not participate.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised a bit if that happened. But either way, the game was officially canceled. So that's a positive that they were smart enough to figure that out.
Yeah.
Even if they weren't smart enough to, you know, prepare beforehand so that they didn't have to try to speed up the process.
All right. Well.
All right. Well, okay then.
Yeah, don't want
getting a little bit excited over there, Ethan.
Just let moral of the story, let's let paint dry on its own.
Of the story is you can't trust the system. Man,
you really can't.
Nah, it's from Lonely Island.
Throw it on the ground.
SNL digital short.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's from Throw It On The Ground. I just know there are other stuff like.
Yeah, yeah. You know. No, it is from Throw It On The Ground. But I was just specifying it was from SNL.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So yeah, it's fun. You should watch it if you feel like it. If not, whatever. It's free country.
And anything besides what we're going to talk about that we've missed in news? That's
Well, the Olympics are going on.
That's true.
And we're doing pretty well, you know, like we always do.
I think Michael Phelps got like 21st. Gold medal or something?
I thought he was only on 20 at the moment. Okay. But maybe. I thought he just got his 20th. He was at 19 and now he's at 20th. And. that's funny. Sorry, I got distracted there for a second. But yeah, so I'm pretty sure that he's just got his 20th last night. He got his second gold at these Olympics. He had 19. So he got his first one that was 19 and now he's at 20. And so he's like doing awesome. And then we also have Katie Ledecky, who has just been blowing away the competition in the women's swimming. And people have... I read this article about that yesterday on ESPN that everyone says, you know, she swims like a guy. And not in the sense that you have to swim like a guy to be good or anything, but just that the way that men and women swim are a little bit different. And she tends to use the same, like, movements that guys use. So she's able to get a little bit more, like, pull on it. And so because of that, she's done awesome and been blowing away competition, setting world records. She's 2 for 2 so far in gold medals. And she's 19, so she's going to be around for a bit. You know, she's going to be our women's version of Michael Phelps, I believe.
Yeah, who knows, just coming back. Well, it's... It's like that. There's that woman who's doing the gymnastics from Uzbekistan, and she's been in every Olympics since 1992.
That's crazy.
Yeah, she just keeps coming back. So
I don't think she's been winning because our gymnastics team is dominated, and they won the team gold last night. But right now we're sitting at 10 gold medals for the United States, 8 silvers, and 9 bronzes. So we have 10 more medals than China, which is the next country.
Oh, yeah.
So we're doing pretty good. And I expect us to get a lot more.
We better.
Because I don't think they've even done running events yet.
No, I don't think so.
But obviously, Usain Bolt will probably win the 100 and 200 because he's just super fast.
So we'll give Jamaica that. We'll give them that.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like you think of Jamaica as this perennial powerhouse when it comes to the Olympics, but they've been really good at sprints for the last few Olympics. And, well, especially with Usain Bolt, he's, you know, the fastest guy ever to this point. And is insanely fast. And he said this is going to be his last Olympics, which makes sense. I mean, he's getting up there to an age where he's going to start to decline and not be as good. And so, I mean, I'm not surprised by it. Some people are maybe disappointed. But, you know, it's fun. Yeah.
All right. Well.
But, yeah, USA. America.
Taking it home.
America. America.
I just think of the...
America!
Song. Yeah, the song from World Police.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm singing. Yeah, it's...
that always goes
Team America,
every
World
Olympics.
Police. It's a ridiculously stupid show. Uses a lot of vulgarities.
It's hilarious, though.
It's funny, though. In a really dumb way.
Yeah.
But yeah,
there's some YouTube video about our entrance into the Olympics, and it has some song by Waka Flocka Flame playing over it. And obviously it's fake, but it was put over the actual entrance, and the commentator's like, I think Team USA is sending a message here.
So. Yeah, I saw this thing on iFunny a couple days ago. I think it was 2 days ago. Maybe it was yesterday. But either way, it was just a little Vine where it showed, like, the medal counts, and then it, like, zoomed in on ours, and while it was doing that, it was like, America! Yeah.
Yes.
Coming again to save the day, yeah, America.
See, they just got to play that at every sporting event now.
Well, I mean, if they had an edited version, I think that would be more likely, but...
Nah, you just got.
But when they're dropping the F-bomb a couple times, just in that short section,
full on world police.
They're probably gonna not go for that.
All right. Well, should we talk about some shame?
I think that we should. I think shame is an important emotion that we all feel and that needs to be, you know, no. What are you doing?
That
needs to be, you know, shared. You know, when we feel shame for people's actions, you know, we should do it.
Yeah.
And you're gonna have to push play still, but
people
yeah,
got
anyway.
So let's get this started.
Now it's time for the wall of shame. Shame.
That's so
shame. Shame. Shame.
The blue
shame.
Thing.
Shame.
Shame. Shame.
Shame.
Shame.
Shame.
Shame.
Shame. Shame. Shame.
All right. Not sure entirely why that was so quiet today, but the point is we're doing the wall of shame.
Yeah. If you couldn't hear that.
If you couldn't
crystal
hear.
Crystal clear. We're talking about one emotion, and that is shame.
That is shame. Shame, right. Shame, shame. Shame, shame, shame. Shame, shame, shame. Just do it, you know, instant replay on that.
Just so you get the idea that there's still shame in the world, even on a nice Wednesday morning.
It's hump day.
It is.
So, I'm going to go first.
Yeah, because I think I know what you want.
Well, I have a couple different ones. First, okay. We're going to go back and talk about the NFL Hall of Fame for a second, because they're the ones who are in charge of the Hall of Fame game, the one that was canceled on Sunday. They're in charge of making sure the field is ready. To my understanding, there's not a single other event that goes on at that field other than the Hall of Fame game. So
you had one game.
Why was the field not ready? Why? Because you had one job to do.
One
like,
game a
you
year.
I think of that as just like, you had one job to do.
You had one job.
It's like on Ocean's 11 when you have, I don't remember his name, but the guy that was robbing a bank and... He goes in, like, he, like, blows the safe open, and then he takes one step in, the alarm goes off. He's like, oh, hey, to hell, you had one job to do. That's exactly what this is. You had one job. Make sure the field was painted before the game was going to take place. It's not like this is winter and you had a narrow window. You had entire summer. Why didn't you paint it, like, a couple weeks ago?
And it's like... I don't know how long it takes for field paint to dry, but I can't imagine it takes forever.
It's not that long. I mean, obviously, it'll take a little bit longer when you make the designs on there that's going to have more paint. But still, like, it's not like it takes a month for it to dry. I figure at best it takes, like, maybe 2 days, but even that, I'm just guessing. But either way, you had all summer. This is the only event that takes place there. So why did you not have it ready? How is that a thing? How do you not have your field ready for the one game a year that you do? Like, this is your celebration of the Hall of Fame,
the
and you couldn't
that's
do
used
it
once, you know. So
yeah, and maybe I'm wrong about them that being the only thing that ever happens there, but I kind of feel like it is, because what else is there to do in Canton, Ohio? It's just the NFL Hall of Fame.
Thank and goodness for that.
It's not like the Browns play there. They play in Cleveland. It's not like the
they
Bengals
chose
play
Cleveland.
There. Now, those are the two options. And, I mean, maybe a high school team uses it. I don't know. But either way,
yeah,
you should have had it ready. And so for that, you go into the wall of shame.
Yeah.
Second up, related to NFL and the MLB, in the sense that I'm talking about Tim Tebow, of course. Tim Tebow came out this week and said, or this weekend, I think. Anyway, he came out and said, I want to try being in the MLB. I want to try being a professional baseball player now because football hasn't worked out.
It's that simple. You know?
Yeah, you know, I mean, just because you played baseball when you're younger doesn't mean you're going to be good enough to play in the MLB. You know, those guys have to be pretty dang good to be in the MLB. And where you haven't played baseball since you were in high school, I think, maybe you played at Florida too. Either way, it's been years. It's been years since you played baseball. So how do you figure you're just going to come in and, like, walk onto a team? And first off, the way it comes across, at least in my view, and I think Stephen A. Smith's view from ESPN, is that you saying that you're going to go to baseball because it wasn't working out in football means that you think that it's easier to go play professional baseball than it is professional football. And, I mean, for some people, obviously, it'd be easier because they're more gifted towards baseball than they are football.
But I think it's tough in its own way, though.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, definitely. That's what I'm saying. Is like some people, it would be easier to do baseball than football. But, you know, Tebow, your issue was that you couldn't throw it, like, correctly. People didn't want to deal with you because you took way too long to throw the ball. You remember in baseball, you have to throw the ball
pretty quickly to get the guy out in if he's running.
So. Yeah. And so it's just, to me, I think that in his mind, he feels like he's going to be like in the major leagues. But at best, I say he's a minor league player and maybe like a triple A player.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
he's not Bo Jackson by any shot.
No. And so I want to say, you know, Tim Tebow, because you thought that it would be just a breeze to go into the MLB, he's having tryouts, or not tryouts, but he's going to work out for a bunch of teams in, like, this month or something. But either way, you're going into the Wall of Shame, Tim Tebow. And just a reminder for anyone who has just recently tuned in, you're listening to The Bullpen here on KBLU 92.3. Logan, Utah. And now we get to hear what Evan has to say about the Wall of Shame.
Got a couple things in the Wall of Shame, one of which is also tied to retirement, which we'll talk about in depth later. A-Rod retiring. Well, that's not really the Wall of Shame thing, because I think it was, you know, it was probably time for him to go. His numbers weren't great. But what I put in the Wall of Shame is the Yankees for, at the time, having extended his contract so long, knowing he was aging. Because what happened was that the Steinbrenner family went against the wishes of Cashman, Brian Cashman, the general manager for the Yankees, to keep A-Rod on longer than he should have. And it took in a bigger contract that took up more of the payroll. I mean, obviously it's the Yankees, but still you want payroll room. And I just think they kept him way too long, and they did not listen to their GM, the guy who built pretty much four World Series, five World Series. And so
the thing about it is, like, that's funny, is that, and we'll dive more into A-Rod himself later, but the Yankees are always, like, they've always gotten really big contracts for guys who probably aren't going to live up to it. Like, they always give massive contracts, and here was an example of it kind of backfiring because he's not doing anything for them at the moment.
Yeah. I mean, he's been reduced to a designated hitter who's
no, it's not basically, he is.
Yeah, yeah. So, designated hitter who has trouble hitting, which I don't know where you put somebody after that. I mean,
I know. Isn't he batting like 211?
It's some, like,
something pretty poor.
If your
like
only
that.
Job is to just get hits and you're batting,
you figure you could get it done
around 200,
especially when you want to be considered one of the best hitters of all time. How are you not able to hit the ball? Yeah, maybe you're not hitting all home runs or anything, but hit the ball,
but at least moving,
get a single,
at least moving guys around the base, you know,
at least get a sack fly,
some RB. Yeah, if you're gonna bat that poorly, at least have it because you sacrifice,
I mean,
fly.
If you do a sacrifice fly, it doesn't count against your batting average, so I mean, do something,
please. So, yeah, so Yankees ownership on the Wall of Shame for not listening to their GM. And my other entry is the Atlanta Braves being the first team this year to get to 70 losses, on pace to well, continue to suck for the rest of the year. So congratulations on being the first to 70. As someone who grew up watching great Braves teams, it's really sad to see where it is now. So,
and we're going live to a press conference held by the Atlanta Braves. Yeah, we want to thank all those for supporting us in our quest for 70 losses. And, you know, it took some doing. We had to work really hard, but, you know, in the end, we were able to achieve those 70 losses. And we want to thank you guys for being out there supporting us, helping us to reach that goal. You know, obviously, normally we try to be a good team, and usually we try to be at the top of the NL. But you guys have been real supportive of our attempt to go in the other direction. And, you know, we're still hoping. We're hoping to get to 90 before the end of the year. Want everyone to hold tight with us and see if we can make it.
So that was that going live to the press conference. So
yeah. And
90, I think, is generous. I think they could do 100.
Yeah, I mean, but you don't want to set your goals that are unreachable.
You don't want to put up a false hope for kids across the U.S. that you can lose that much in 1 year.
Yeah, I mean, the Sixers have showed that they're pretty good at losing. But I guess the Sixers and Braves, they're kind of best friends now because they're like, hey, we're trying this new thing.
The floor is the limit.
The floor is the limit. Dang it, guys, we won a game today. We gotta just jump back on the horse and go lose that next one.
You did great, guys. We almost had a competent team out on the field. So,
but I just looked up Alex Rodriguez, and he's batting .204 this year.
Okay, it's even worse.
He's had 9 homers and 29 RBIs.
Sheesh.
So let's just go ahead and say that he is not doing so hot.
No. Yeah. So,
I mean, it's pretty sad to see because, you know, he's supposed to be a really good hitter.
Well, he was so close to the 7th.
I want to get into that in a minute. Yeah. Do you have any more entries in the Wall of Shame?
No, that's why.
All right, so we'll just transition and talk about A-Rod for a little bit more. Not necessarily just about the Wall of Shame part, but about the situation. So, Friday is his last game, apparently, with the Yankees, and he's retiring, and he's going to be like an advisor for like hitting or
special
something,
special instructor
or something like that. Anyway, that's what they say. But, you know, I guess a reporter had asked him after like this news came out, you know, how he felt about not getting 700. He's like, I think I can get it. So that leads me to believe that he's actually looking to go somewhere else. And so he's going to be retired or released by the team, and he'll be a free agent, and someone else could sign him. But if nobody does, then he's like, yeah, the whole plan was just to be a coach. Hmm. But if somebody offers him the opportunity to go play somewhere else, he's going to take it. Because, I mean, he wants to get to 700, and it makes sense. But I'm kind of surprised that the Yankees aren't going to be the team that would give him that chance. But the Yankees are being very un-Yankee-like this year.
Yeah.
I mean, they traded players away at the trade deadline rather than trying to go get players. Teixeira's retiring at the end of this year. A-Rod is retiring, in quotation marks. Then people can't actually see me doing the quotation marks.
Yeah. So, scare quotes, everyone.
Scare quotes. Scare quotes.
Scare quotes.
It's like Scarecrow.
No,
you never go full Randy Johnson.
You never go full Randy Johnson.
But, oh no, I mean, yeah, Atlanta, I don't know. Atlanta could be the team to go get 100.
Please, something.
Could go get 100. I'm looking at the standings now. I mean, it's possible, man.
Yep.
I mean, they've only played 111 games, 113
they just
games.
They've got to lose 30.
They've got 50 more. There are 49 more games. Yeah. They can lose another 30.
They could do it.
They can. I believe in them. Yeah. I believe in you, Atlanta.
I believe in you.
You can do this.
Come on, Braves. But, I mean, obviously the Yankees being a little bit uncharacteristic with this trade season, but I think it is the right move because they loaded up.
Oh, it's definitely the right move.
Yeah, because they loaded up on so many guys that in the end, after a couple years, we're really just going to take up payroll space.
Yeah, and really what it is, I mean, not that that matters to the Yankees too much, but the thing is, you know, they're not going to win the World Series. They're not even going to make the playoffs this year. and they haven't for a couple years now, and you can't, you know, vault yourself into contention without kind of rebuilding a little bit. And the Yankees have refused to do that for like their entire existence. Even when they've had bad years, it takes a really long time to get back to where you're contending for anything without doing it this way. And what they did a great job. They traded away a couple pitchers who are like good closers. They traded them away and got a ton of prospects back, and they traded away Beltran as well. You know, they got a lot back for him. A lot of good young players who can come in and make an impact in a couple of years. And so to me, the Yankees, for the first time in a long time, were really smart about what they were doing, and it was kind of weird.
Yeah, a little bit, you know, better strategic moves, I think, on their part than just getting the biggest name. But I think with A-Rod, though, yeah, he'll if he can come back, he's going to find a way to come back.
I think
for right or wrong, I think he'll try it. And so that's probably some team like either Atlanta or Minnesota that just wants to get rid of their cruddy team now and just at least have something for next year.
Yeah, I mean, maybe A-Rod ends up on the Braves. But then, I was going to say they wouldn't want him because that would take away their chances of getting to 100 losses. But, you know, at the same time,
at 204,
he hasn't been batting well. He's going to get lots of strikeouts for him. Atlanta, this is what you need to do. You know, he might hit a couple home runs this year. But I think, all in all, you're going to, you know, improve your chances even more of getting to 100 losses. And for that, I salute you.
Salute.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I don't know where he would end up. But apparently that's, I mean, they're not going to come out and say that that's what the plan is.
Yeah.
But when I'm saying that he thinks he can get to 700 wins, or 700 home runs,
yeah.
Then that means that he plans on playing somewhere else because he's not quite there yet.
Yeah.
I mean, do you know how many he has right now?
No, but I just knew it would have been possible to probably get there this year. I think if he had much better numbers.
He's got 696.
Yeah, okay.
So he has to hit 4 home runs.
Ugh. What if he just had like a 4 home run game on Friday
or,
and just went out?
Well, I mean,
like
they're probably playing today. They're probably playing tomorrow and Friday. I mean, he could get 4 home runs in between those if, you know, he's smart about hitting.
If he's
but
not
when he's only
go
got 9 for the season,
204.
Kind of doubtful.
Oh, man.
But it is possible.
Yeah. But I think that brings up just the idea of athletes coming back. Because I think we've seen this, not just with like A-Rod rumors, but we see it with guys like Brett Favre.
Tebow.
Michael Jordan came back. Yeah, Tebow, who we're going to get into. So, I mean, I guess like maybe in general, do you think guys should come back after they've said that I'm hanging it up? I mean, is there really a good reason to come back for a lot of those guys?
I think so, but I think that you should really have decided that you're not going to play anymore when you retire. I mean, you can like say I'm going to take a break and then come back in a couple of years. I mean, the reason why Tebow is coming back, I mean, he never said that he was retired. He's been trying to get back into the league without any success because, you know, he couldn't figure out the throwing motion and to speed up his release and become a passer. And so, I mean, he's had issues with that. So for him, he didn't really ever say, you know, I'm retiring. And so, oh, never mind, I'm coming back. But Brett Favre did that like 2 or 3 times. He did at least 2. I feel like it was 3. But either way, he did it a couple times. And
like, and even in Favre's case, the Packers are like, we're really just going to go with Aaron Rodgers here.
I mean, that must have been a tough decision for them because, you know, he's only done average since he started.
Yeah.
Of course, that's sarcasm. I don't know if everyone picks that up, but yes. No, Aaron Rodgers has done a good job, and they knew what they had with him, and so that's why they're like, yeah, you know, like you said you were leaving, you know, it's Aaron Rodgers' turn, like we're good with him. And
yeah, it's like you could come back, but you're going to be a backup, basically.
Yeah.
At best for Aaron Rodgers.
And so then he has to be traded, and they traded him to the Jets. So, but I mean, for A-Rod, it doesn't feel like it's really A-Rod's decision to retire or whatever. I think the Yankees are like, yeah, look, we're done with you. Face, we're done with you.
Yeah.
To me, I really just kind of wish that the Yankees would give him a chance to get 700 before the end of the season. Just like keep him on until the end of the season. Why would you suddenly need to change?
Because they're still going to be paying him his contract money. It's not like,
yeah, it's not like that goes away. So for me, I don't know why they wouldn't just keep him in. It's, they're not going to make the playoffs. Like I said, they're in rebuilding mode. Granted, I don't think it's going to be a long rebuild like, you know, the Cleveland Browns all the time, but
it's not going to be a 40-year rebuilding.
This isn't going to be a Browns situation, but yeah. So, I mean, for me, let the guy have the chance. I mean, I know he kind of took away everyone's trust when he got in trouble for PEDs, but
since then he's kind of stayed out of any trouble, really.
He's also stayed out of any kind of relevance. So, I mean, he hasn't been good.
Yeah,
he really hasn't. And so, I mean, I get from the Yankees side, like, wanting to be done with him, but like, just let him finish out the year, see if he can get those 4 home runs.
Just, you know, going up by 4 when you only have 9. But I mean, hey, anything's possible, as the Braves continue to tell us. But
as Kevin Garnett would tell us. And that goes back to another Lonely Island SNL digital short where they're on, I'm on a boat and it's like Kevin Garnett, anything is possible. So, yeah, it made me think of that. But anything's possible if you just believe. The Braves are proving it. They've got to 70 losses already. They're well on their way to 100.
They are inspiring a nation to try a little bit harder. All eyes on them.
In the center of the ring, just like a circus.
Oh, man.
It's like Britney Spears' song. All eyes on me in the center of the ring, just like a circus.
A brave circus.
We applaud you, Atlanta Braves. We applaud you.
Thank you, Braves.
Yeah, we really applaud you because, you know, not everyone can handle that, you know?
That pressure to the race to the bottom.
And we're coming back live to the Atlanta Braves press conference. And you know, we're going to do it. We're going to make it to 100 losses. I was going with 90 before, but I think we can get to 100.
Take that, Minnesota.
We're going to do it. USA. USA.
Long before USA, the Twins get that
USA.
Bad.
USA. So ridiculous. But going back to, you know, the main topic we're actually talking about. Retiring players coming back, you know. The Atlanta Braves, just go get a bunch of retired guys, like these guys that have been out of the league for 10 years, and get them, throw them in there. Let them be a part of history.
The farewell tour. We'll call it the farewell tour.
With all the losses, I mean, you might as well. I mean, I know some of them will, their bones kind of do this. They're kind of creaky. Joints. They're a little bit old.
Oh.
But they know. They know what it takes.
They do.
I'm just kidding. Yeah. I wonder if they really like are trying to lose a bunch of games. I wonder if they're trying to tank to try to get the best pick next year, or if they're really just that bad.
But it's like the first pick in baseball, though, with the minor league system.
Yeah,
which is like we want to improve, but we want to improve in like 4 years.
But
by the time that guy finally gets back up to,
you get like Bryce Harper. Yeah. He came into the league pretty quick, and he's done pretty well. And you've also got Steven Strasburg. The Nationals have done pretty well in the draft.
True.
And so, I mean, it could be a thing for them. But just think of it this way. There's all these guys who are sitting there retired, not going to make it to the Hall of Fame, so you know, they have something else to prove.
Combined.
So get these guys, bring them back in. You got lots of talent. From, I mean, 15 years ago they had Tom, but you just bring them in.
Bringing back Chipper Jones.
Chipper Jones. The best,
but anyway, but it's like, but with, what's that?
We're hopping up and down on pogo sticks right now.
Still doing the show.
Not really. That's deceptive. We're not really doing that. I'd be panting probably.
But I mean, when it comes to athletes coming back out of retirement, or if it's just a comeback when they didn't other than cows.
The cow didn't like your comment. He didn't like it at all.
Cows are impatient. I mean, has there ever really been like a
success
really
story?
Worthwhile?
I mean, I feel like Brett Favre did all right. He did pretty well
with Minnesota.
The years he came back. Yeah, Minnesota.
I mean, at least getting them to the playoffs.
They got to the NFC Championship game, I think. So he did pretty well there, and I know that really upset a lot of Packers fans because the Vikings and Packers are rivals. But yeah, other than that, like I'm thinking, obviously Jordan coming back, but he, I mean, he just retired because they were going to suspend him anyway, and so when he came back, it wasn't like we really thought he was going to be gone for good. But he comes back and plays and gets another three-peat. And then, of course, he retires again, and we figured we had seen the last time. Then he comes back with the Wizards at, like, 45 or something. And he did all right. He was still better than most of the players on
the
court.
For the Wizards, a 45-year-old Michael Jordan was probably still a good move.
Yeah, I mean, he did all right for an old guy. He still was better than a lot of the guys out there.
They got to the playoffs a couple times when he was making his comeback with Washington.
Yeah, but clearly it wasn't the same as he was before that.
Oh yeah,
and that's the problem with it. Like, anytime you have someone coming back out of retirement when they retired after a long career, like their age is going to put them at a disadvantage. They're not going to be able to do everything they used to do because as you get older, your muscles don't work quite as well. Your bones aren't quite as strong. Like, I mean, some people can still be relevant. Like, Michael Jordan was still a pretty good player when he came back with the Wizards. And Brett Favre still did a pretty good job at his advanced age. I mean, I feel like he was already going to the early bird specials at that time. But he did a good job. I mean,
but it's like for the really good guys, it's like, what do you have left to prove?
I know.
You've done everything there is to do.
I mean, I believe that before he retired, Brett Favre had already set the records, like all the records that he had. Now, granted, Peyton Manning has gone and beaten them all, but...
But still, I mean, he had his Super Bowl moments, and, you know, it's like, what else is there to do?
I mean, he wanted to get to another Super Bowl and win another one. I mean, he only won one Super Bowl.
Yeah.
He got beat by the Broncos the year after he won. He almost went back-to-back, but, you know, the Broncos offense went out there and did okay, and the defense made them. And so, so I mean, he only had the one Super Bowl, and you know how much analysts and people always put so much weight on how many Super Bowls you won? The funny thing is, like, with Brett Favre, like, they weren't talking about all that. They were like, oh, yeah, this is one of the best quarterbacks of all time. But with Peyton Manning, it was the opposite story. You know, Peyton Manning had been to three Super Bowls and won one and finally won the second one last year, which he, you know, let's face it, the defense, you know, won it for him. I mean, I know I just shattered everyone's beliefs, but, yeah, the defense won that Super Bowl. It wasn't Peyton Manning. But now that he's got a second Super Bowl, they're like, oh, yeah, you know, he's definitely probably the best quarterback that we've seen so far. I mean, people are going to put Brady ahead of him because Brady has five or four. I think it's four. Yeah, he's like 4-2. Now, he could end up getting a fifth before he retires. But people are going to be like, oh, yeah, Tom Brady, greatest quarterback of all time. But at the same time, you can make the argument that Tom Brady took a lot of things from Peyton Manning. Like, he's even said, you know, I tried to emulate Peyton Manning when I came in the league, and for a while, like, he tried to copy things that Peyton Manning did, and he's obviously built upon that. He's not just like, oh, I'm gonna copy Peyton Manning and everything, but he learned a lot from Peyton Manning. So at the same time, you take that into account when you decide who's the best ever. Obviously two of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, and definitely the best quarterback rivalry of all time. Yeah. Because I mean, they played each other like every year and met up in the playoffs so many times. But I think that, now I don't really want to get into that discussion so much, but when you have these players, that come, sometimes they come back because, you know, people have said they haven't done enough to be, like, to cement their legacy or whatever. With Brett Favre, I figure that probably played into it. Hmm. You know, he wasn't getting as much flack about only winning one Super Bowl as, say, Peyton Manning was, but he still, I'm sure, was getting flack for it. I don't remember all the details because I was a little bit younger when that happened, but yeah, I think that factors into it. You got A-Rod, who's supposedly retiring, but he wants to get to 700 home runs. So, I mean, he can get 4 home runs, even if it takes him another year to do it. Like, I mean, he's going to get those eventually, as long as someone will let him play. And I'm sure someone will, because someone desperately needs, you know, hitting, even if he's not that consistent. I mean, I'm looking at you, Atlanta Braves. What? Wait a second there, Sonny. We don't need no hitters. We're going for history. For America.
Yeah.
For the U.S. of A.
That's kind of a short eagle sound there.
I know. I wish they had a longer one. I wish they had the whole, like, America. That could just push every little bit because it's lots of fun. But hopefully you guys aren't snoring in the back, because, I mean, I don't think we're boring, but
no.
Maybe we are.
And especially now that we have the sound effects board.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah. So watch out, Airwaves of America. We've got a sound effects board.
Yeah. So
yeah.
What is your thoughts, though? I mean, I've been kind of ranting for a minute here. What do you think about players coming back?
Well, I'll start with A-Rod's specific case. I think this was more of a saving face for the Yankees kind of deal. They wanted to let him go without releasing him, you know. But in the case of players coming back, I think if you say you're retiring, just retire, because it gets kind of... Because if you're someone like Brett Favre and you're announcing for the second time you're retiring, people are like...
I don't know if I believe you.
The boy who cried wolf, but it's like,
no, I mean, when that happened, I remember saying, you know, I don't believe it. It's not that he's actually shutting the door on his career. I mean, he's coming back probably.
Yeah.
He just can't stay away.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you don't want to build that reputation. I get that. But I mean,
but also it's,
but
like,
what about just like one time?
It's possible, but I mean, you know, if you're aging, but you're a star of that caliber, even if you're aging, you're still going to have a huge asking price, you know. And just because a team like the Yankees could keep guys around like that, I don't think that would work in a lot of other, like in the baseball world, I don't think that would work in a lot of other markets. Hit someone like A-Rod, their asking price to play would be astronomical.
But the thing about it is he's already going to be getting paid a bunch by the Yankees. He's already made tons and tons of money. Probably more than anybody in the history of baseball. But, I mean, I guess he was making like $400,000 a game or something when he was with the Rangers.
Yeah, some insane amount. Shutting the door on
A-Rod's career. With 4 home runs under 700. So,
way to go.
I just don't believe that's going to happen.
Yeah,
someone's going to sign him.
He wants, yeah, he'll play...
And I'm sure that he'll play for a discount. I mean, it's like, I mean, we're happy to give you this opportunity to get these 4 home runs, but I'm not going to break the bank for you.
Yeah.
You're a has-been. You're washed up. You're at best, you're a designated hitter at this point. So,
and a struggling designated hitter.
Yeah. You haven't done a great job. You're not worth the money.
Yeah.
So, A-Rod, if you're listening, and you ought to be, just accept that you're not going to get paid very much. Just go and say, what do you think I'm worth? Okay, I already have tons and tons of money, so I don't really need to do this about, like, for the money. Go sign with someone. Go get your 4 hits before the end of the season.
Yeah.
And then hang them up. Yeah. Like, you're not going to do much else.
No.
And when you do this, exactly how I said, this is what you will get.
Gotta go out a winner.
The crowd's going wild.
For A-Rod.
For
ending
A-Rod.
But,
oh, sorry. That was actually, we cut back to the Atlanta Braves the press conference, and that was the crowd getting excited about the 100 losses that they're going to go for. And we're back. We're back with some more. They're really excited out there.
I really think the crowd is wondering how many managers the Braves are going to have to go through to at least find someone who's competent enough to get them to a 500 season. No.
They're definitely,
I mean, not today.
They're
not
on the train heading for 100 Lostville.
History train. On the history train.
It's the bullpen.
Mercy me, it's the history train, and the Braves are on it.
We're going to do it, guys. We are going to do it. We are at prime position. We can beat everybody to this. We can be. Has anyone ever lost 100 games?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We
the
can
Astros
be...
did it 3 years in a row before moving to the AL. Their last
Dang.
Few years in the NL, three straight 100-game
losses. That is impressive.
Yeah.
You know, props to you guys, the Astros. I mean, I have to put this on here. Props to you for going three seasons straight with 100 losses. I mean, that's history, everybody.
So they were all too happy to move over to the AL West after that. But
isn't the AL supposed to be stronger?
I don't know. I think anything to get away from the Cardinals, I think, was good for the Astros.
Well, I mean, weren't in the NL West?
They were in the NL Central.
Oh, okay.
So,
yeah.
Get away from the Cardinals. But, yeah, but basically on the whole retirement thing, I just think the problem with coming back after you say retired is that, like I said, if you're the kind of caliber player who could ask for a ton of money, I mean, I guess you could say, oh, I'll take a pay cut. But I don't know. I just think you should just accept your career for what it was, and unless you really, really have a shot at it, I just think you should let it go.
Let it go. Let it go. I am one with the wind and snow.
I'd hum the part.
Yeah, I don't know all the words. That's like the main thing that I remember is just that part. I mean, I can sing really loud the chorus. But I'm not going to do that right now.
Would you just like randomly call up people just to like yell the chorus through the phone?
Let it go. Let it go. Yeah, that'd probably be appreciated. Can imagine. Imagine people would enjoy that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for me, I say try to avoid it. If you're going to retire, stay retired. I understand, like, later on you'd be like, oh, I regret this decision. But, you know, be like Peyton Manning, where you just, like, you work, like, you wait, think about it for a while, and then make an educated decision. I mean, I felt like it was obvious that he should retire because, you know, he's declined a ton.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, his mind is sharp, but his body just can't do what it used to be able to do. And that was a problem at the end of the last couple seasons. He declined a bunch. And then last season, he was just awful because he was always injured and couldn't plant and was always didn't have very much power in his throws. Threw 17 picks in like 9 games.
Yeah.
Just awful.
But
and
I think it was good on his part to recognize that, like really thinking it through and saying, you know what, I'm not helping my team out, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's time to go.
For me, I think that, you know, it was a good decision on his part and I felt like it was an obvious decision. But at least, like, he didn't just, like, go, yeah, you know, we won the Super Bowl, so I'm going to retire. It was like, look, this isn't about me tonight.
Yeah.
We're going to celebrate the win. Like, I'll decide later on, and I'll let you guys know. So I really liked how he handled it. I think that's kind of how you should handle it. Like, you need to really know that you want to be done when you retire.
Yeah.
Because it's
kind of... that's a huge change. I mean, you you know.
Like, you really need to, like, think it through and all that. Make sure that that is what you want. If it's not, then don't say it is. You know, just because you want to get away from a team, which I think that has happened before. Or if a team wants to get away from you, don't say you're retiring. Just say, hey, you know what? Release me. Like, if you don't want me to be on your team. I'm looking at you, Yankees. You know, it seems like you don't want A-Rod on there anymore, and I don't blame you.
Come on,
I
Braves.
Don't.
It's your opportunity.
But just release him. Don't do this BS where you're like, yeah, we're going to have you be an advisor. Ooh.
We're just like,
A-Rod, I know you only have 4 home runs to get to 700, but yeah, we're going to make you not have that opportunity with us. It's like, you know how much
Heartless.
How much money you could make on ticket sales alone with yeah. people game after game waiting to see if he's going to get 700 that game. Like, why? To me, like, you're already going to lose the season. It's not like you're playing for anything this season. You're not.
You're
let A-Rod try to hit his 700 home run. Yeah. You'll have people selling out even though you guys are crappy. You're sitting at 500 right now. And you'll still sell a ton of tickets because people are going to want to be there to see number 700 because that's history.
Yeah.
And just like the Atlanta Braves are chasing history down in down in Georgia.
The race to the bottom.
And hey, maybe this works out. I don't know what the schedules are, but maybe it works out that you beat the Braves when he hits his 700th home run.
And they get their 100th loss.
Yeah, I mean, imagine the possibilities. I mean, odds are you probably aren't playing them at that time. But think about it. Think about it. Look it up. See if you can schedule a special game. Look, A-Rod, you're at 699. You know, someone's going to just do a lob, a pitch in there and just let him crank on it. And the Braves will be more than willing to.
It'll be like a home run history. Derby pitch where it's just like.
Really, it would be. I mean, when I just like watching a replay of when Barry Bonds set the record for most home runs in a season. That's exactly how the guy threw it. He just like lobs it in there like, here you go.
Which just, kudos to Hank Aaron. For when he got the home run record, at least taking a real pitch. So,
well, I mean, it's not like you get a decision as the hitter, but...
Yeah.
That's so, I mean, I imagine people would do that. It's like, you know what? And maybe they'll do that this week. Maybe that's the plan. Say, hey, you guys, just lob him in there for A-Rod.
We're going to set a T-ball tee on the home plate and just let him...
let him hit a home run. Let him get to 700 by the end of this week. Then we don't have to deal with A-Rod anymore.
They got to throw the game enough to allow him to get to 4 at-bats. So it either they have to let him a lot of hits or go into extra innings.
Well, I mean, if he's a designated hitter, they could put him at the number one spot. And all they would need is one hit. And if he gets it, I mean, that gives him another opportunity. So to me, it's not that much of a stretch to give him 4 shots. But again, you got 3 days to do it. So
get on it.
I'm looking at all you guys. It'd be awesome if they're playing the Braves this week. I don't know if they are, but you know, Braves are chasing history. A-Rod's chasing history.
Everybody wins, just some of us more metaphorically than others. So.
Yeah. Some more metaphorically than others.
The Braves.
That is classic. Yeah. All right, well, that is our buzzer telling us that it is time to close up shop.
You have survived another... hour with us.
Yeah.
So
kudos to you. Atlanta Braves, we will expect your listenership next week. But I want to thank everyone for listening. Stay tuned all day because we have music all day. It's going to be great. Also, we'll be back on Friday with another edition of The Bullpen. But I want to thank you guys for listening and have a great hump day.